Well, what's on my heart to share with us this week is I want to call on you, brothers and sisters, to wrestle with God in prayer. To wrestle with God in prayer for his blessing. I want to call on us to work hard at prayer, to strive and to persist in prayer until the Lord blesses. Sometimes as Christians used to say a long time ago, they would seek to lay hold of God, seek to prevail with God or tussle with God in prayer until he grants his blessing. Now that idea of a wrestling with God actually comes from the scriptures. If you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 4 and to verse 12. Colossians 4, verse 12. Paul's writing to the Colossians, and one of the Colossian elders, or perhaps Colossian minister, has been visiting with Paul. He's come to help Paul, and he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Now, in our translation, where it says laboring fervently, that's translating a Greek word, which actually gives us the English word agony, to agonize over something. And it's a word that's translated elsewhere in the scriptures as to fight, to strive, to wrestle. In some translations, you'll find it put wrestle here in this verse. But the idea is that Epaphras is working hard. You know, I mean, he's giving his time and his energy and he's persevering in prayer for God to bless and to build up the church. And I think it's a reminder to us that prayer is perhaps the essential work of the church. That we have to work hard at it. We have to persevere at it. And tonight's something of an introduction, but I hope what we're going to see this week is there is a pattern in the scriptures when we look at saints praying. Of at first, the Lord not answering. Or of the Lord being against his people, seemingly, in appearance. Or the Lord resisting his people, saying no. But then you find saints wrestling with God in prayer. And they will not give up. And they pray, and they keep praying. And they bring God's promises to him. And they invoke God's covenant. And they prevail with God, is the kind of language the scriptures use. Or God relents and answers the prayer. And I would love to see us as a church grow and experience this kind of agonizing prayer, this wrestling with God, because we so desperately want to see his blessings and specific answers. We'll look at perhaps some of these examples during the week, but think of Abraham when he's interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. And there is this dialogue that he has with the Lord where it's like Abraham keeps pushing the boundaries of what he's daring to ask God to do. Well, will you spare the city if there's, you know, 100 righteous men, if there's 50 righteous men, if there's 10 righteous men? I mean, now if you really think about that, that's quite an astonishing boldness to have with God, isn't it? You could think of some of the Psalms when they're crying out, "How long, O Lord? Lord, why have you not acted yet?" I mean, that's bold to speak to God like that. It's a wrestling with it. I think one of the really clear examples is Moses after the golden calf incident. Now, we know that that's a pattern and a type of the Lord Jesus and his intercession. But right there and then, think about what we're given as model as Moses mediates. The Lord says, "That's it, I'm done with this people. I'll start again with you, Moses." And Moses prays. He says, "No, you can't do that, Lord." And then the Lord relents. He says, "Well, okay, but my presence won't go with you. I won't be there in the tabernacle. I won't give you that glory. And Moses goes back again in prayer and says, no, if you are not going with me, then we cannot do it. And there's this incredible boldness. And again, God yields. There's a wrestling with him in prayer. I think there's another example in Elijah. Knowing the covenant promises of blessing for Israel, he goes up on the mountain top and he prays for rain. And at first there's nothing. And there's a little cloud in the distance. So he gets to praying again. And then he sees that the cloud comes and the rain comes. Or you could think even in a different way, the way the Lord Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking that the cross be taken from him until he surrenders to what God will have him to do. So it's that kind of prayer that I want to encourage us to seek, to grow in as Christians, that will persevere with prayer. And a question that might come up again and again is why does the Lord act that way towards us? Why would he have us persist in prayer? Why does he at first sometimes say no? Well, it's certainly because he's going to use that to change us, to sanctify us, to teach us patience and faith and a trust in his divine will. It's to make us appreciate his gifts, that we don't take any of them for granted, but that we recognise our own humility and weakness, that we're nothing without him and we need to plead for every good thing that comes from him. And I think it's to make us be drawn to him. I hope it's not too bold to say it's because he loves fellowship with his children, but we neglect it. And so he would make us seek him again and again and again when we're in need, because he wants to draw us to himself. And it's a bit like a game I used to play with the children when they were little. Perhaps you parents might have done the same. Where you might have a little sweet or something precious in your hand, and you say, well, okay, I'll let you have it if you can get it. And the children have to prize it from your fingers. And really, it's just because you just love being there with them and so on. But it's a little bit like that. God would have us sometimes prize his fingers open to get the blessing, because he wants us near. He wants us to seek him in prayer. So that's what I want to call us to do this week. And that's why I want us to turn to Genesis 32 tonight, as I think a really clear example of what I'm trying to describe. So Genesis 32 is, of course, the very important moment where Jacob wrestles with the Lord. So I'll begin to read from verse 22. So Genesis 32 from 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved," just as he crossed over Penuel, The sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. So I think there's a verse there that I think really captures what I'm trying to say, brethren. When Jacob's wrestling with the Lord, even when he's weakened, and he's just really clinging to God, he says to him, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's the spirit of wrestling with God in prayer. Now, at this point, of course, Jacob's been given the promises of God. He's been given the covenant blessings of God, that he's the one that's going to receive the inheritance, the promised land and the promised seed, and the promises of God are for him. And Jacob is returning to the promised land. He's on the border as he's trying to cross this brook, and he's in desperate need because he hears that Esau is coming with an army, he presumes, to kill him. And it's in that moment of crisis that he so desperately needs God's blessing, and he's in faith looking for the promises. And you have this mystery that God comes as a man, the angel of the Lord, presumably, and prevents him crossing over, attacks him. Is, you know, here's Jacob trying to cross over, and God doesn't come at first seemingly to help him, but fights him, another enemy. And you see here this pattern I'm talking about, of how at first God seems sometimes to resist his people, to work contrary to what we think. But Jacob gets the blessing because he doesn't give up. Even as God humbles him and his total dependence on God is exposed, he clings to God. He just will not give up. You must bless me. And this is why God says he gives him the new name Israel. Israel means you've fought with God and you've prevailed. Now we know, of course, the Lord is always condescending. He's coming down to us. And it's not like it's a real struggle. It's all to teach Jacob and to teach us. But Jacob, remember, he's something of a paradigm for God's people. He's the mould that we all are to being fitted in as Israel. And so this is the pattern for all of us. Another way of understanding Israel is really mean a prince with God. And God wants us to become royalty, spiritual royalty. He wants us to become princes. He wants us to grow in faith and character and strength by wrestling with him, persevering in prayer, until there is this the blessings that we seek. We're to pray for the salvation, the gathering in of God's elect. We're to pray for maturity, for the church, for growth, unity, for gifts. We're to pray for protection against the devil and his schemes. But we should not expect these blessings from God if we do not wrestle with him for them. Now, it's true in his kindness. The Lord blesses us and is good to us and to his church all the time. But if we really want to see these things, it's not going to come unless we prevail in prayer. So just to finish tonight, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 18, where the Lord Jesus makes much the same point to us. Luke chapter 18. So it's Luke chapter 18 and the first 8 verses. And just really listen to some of the vocabulary that's in this passage. Some of the words the Lord uses to really get the point. So Luke 18. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Just think about some of the words there that the judge speaks about being worn out by the woman's persistence. I've sometimes said this is the parable of holy nagging. She won't stop until he does what's right. And so then how much more, you know, the elect who cry out day and night. Cry out day and night. So my challenge this week, brothers and sisters, is perhaps we do not have because we do not ask. And are we willing to wrestle with God in prayer, to persevere, to work at it, to come to God again and again and again? Maybe for those loved ones we want to see saved, for the revival of the church, the building up of the church, for the Holy Spirit's presence, we must come and we must say to the Lord, I will not let go until you bless me. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, you have given us great and awesome promises that if we pray to you, you will hear and answer us. That, Lord, you tell us we can come to your throne of grace in heaven and find help in time of need. And so we are sorry, Lord, that we have at times not really believed these promises, that we have not acted on them, that we've too easily given up in prayer, that we've neglected to pray as we ought. And so we pray, Lord, please, for the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask that he would work within us, with all his energy powerfully working in us, that, Lord, you would teach us how to persevere in prayer, to prevail in prayer, to wrestle with you in prayer. And Lord, as we pray this night and throughout this week, we ask for the strength and spirit to say, Lord, we will not go until you bless us. Please, Lord, teach us to pray. In our Saviour's name, amen.